Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Oh, man, what a finish. What a baseball game. Oh, man, I don't know about you, but I thoroughly enjoyed that 7-6 Royals victory in 10 innings. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals win on a walk-off balk. For the first time in franchise history, the Kansas City Royals win on a walk-off balk. Two things before we get too deep into this show. You can touch on the trade deadline all you want. We can get to the trade deadline coming up as soon as you want to bring it up. Let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. That's our phone number. That's the J Southland Tow Service text line number. 913-586-7610. I understand the trade deadline is the big story, but that win right there. And the second thing I want to say, I know it's a walk-off balk, so it sounds silly, it sounds fluky, but that was as impressive a victory as I've seen from this Royals team all season. Why? Because the execution of the young hitters up and down, Mikel, Dyrone, Samad, Kyle Isbell, Bobby Witt, MJ Melendez, whatever the task was that needed to be completed in that at-bat, they executed. Oh boy, that... I understand it's the trade deadline and we're into August, but man, I could talk about this game for hours. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Again, 913-586-7610. And boy, oh boy, calling us up following this extra inning affair is one of those names I just mentioned, Samad Taylor, with his first career multi-hit game. Samad, take me through that, just those 10 innings, the roller coaster that was a 7-6 victory. Thanks for the call. What'd you think of that dub?
First off, I want to thank you for having me on. The dub was amazing. We, like you said, it was... It's hard to put in words how that game was. It was just work from all of us. We didn't give in, and the game's never over until the last out is recorded or until something like tonight happens. So it was a great one. It's an amazing feeling to be in the winning column and win one last four, and we're just trying to do everything we can to keep moving.
Four-game winning streak, the longest winning streak of the season, and you got the offense started with that leadoff double in the fifth inning. You're sacrificed to third by Kyle Isbell, and you're plated on a sack fly from Mikel Garcia. Matt Quatrero just got done talking with the skipper. He says you have some sneaky pop. Is that a fair characterization of your bat?
Nah, 100%. As everybody knows, I'm a small guy, but I run into a couple balls here and there. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to hit you 15, 20 home runs a year, but I'll give you a couple, and I'll do what I got to do to be on the bases and run and help the team win. That's all my game is. That's all I want to do is put the team in the winning category.
Have you been a part of a walk-off balk before?
Never in my life. I've been a part of pass balls, walk-off hits, walk-off airs, but I don't think I've ever even seen a walk-off balk.
Royals win in 10-7-6, the final score. A few more questions. Samad Taylor, kind enough to join us following this Royals victory. Take me through this day. I would have met your first time. Now, I know you were traded over here last year at the deadline. Now you're in the clubhouse and hugging guys goodbye as they're traded away. How strange were the past 24 hours?
Quite strange. Like you just said, I've been through the situation. I got traded twice. Started at Cleveland and then traded over to Toronto and then traded over here. But like, you never want to see your guys go because you, like you said, you build a relationship. The camaraderie's there, and you work with these guys all through spring training and the off season, and you get in the season, and you build a stronger bond with them. Getting on a plane, traveling, and be on the road. multiple times out of the year, so you're got a lot of time around your boys. And like seeing Quas leave, it hurts. Seeing Barlow leave, it hurts. Seeing Yarbo leave, it hurts. They're all great guys. And even going with Nikki, like Nikki helped me tremendously getting everything acclimated over here with the organization. So seeing guys go, you never want to see it. It breaks you down, but we always say, the day doesn't stop for you. Time never stops for you, and time keeps ticking, and anything you can do to move past that and lock back into what you have in front of you is everything you can do.
And you got quite an opportunity now in front of you with Nicky Lopez in Atlanta. What's the plan and how you're going to attack this opportunity for the remaining 54 games?
It's a opportunity that presented itself due to somebody getting traded. Like I said, you never want to see nobody go, but I just got to keep my head down and keep working. And when the opportunity presents itself, when they put me in the lineup, I just got to go out there and do everything I can, play my heart out and leave it all on the field.
Samad Taylor, 2-for-3, a pair of runs scored, a pair of stolen bases. Royals win in walk-off fashion in the 10th inning. Samad, thank you very much for the time tonight. Great job, and we'll see you out there tomorrow night.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Samad Taylor of your victorious Kansas City Royals. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Guys, I could go batter by batter explaining why I'm so very pleased with the performance. I'm not making more of it than what it was. It's one win in a 162-game march through the summer. I understand that. It's one win. But the reason why you won the game was because of Michael Garcia's composure, Dairon Blanco's speed, the professionalism of Freddie Fermin, the power and speed of Bobby Witt Jr., the increased, the slowly increasing offensive output of MJ Melendez, the professionalism of Samad Taylor, and the ability to lay down a good bunt from Kyle Isbell. Love the performance from the rookies and the second-year Royals. They are the reason why, with a quick nod to Zach Greinke, who spun five innings of one-run baseball, one of the best performances we've seen from Greinke in about 2.5 months. Royals win 7-6. Let's go out to Kansas and start off with John. John, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Where's this second game we've seen this year? Me and my daughter on our way home. But I was just going to echo what you said. It's just a great ball game. And, you know, for a team 40 games under 500, it's about as compelling a game as you could watch, I thought, just for all the reasons you said. And it's just good for baseball, too, not yeah. just the win for the Royals, but just a good old competitive ball game. And I got a question for you.
Let's hear it.
What in the world were Salvi and Wayne Kirby talking about? We were sitting behind the Royals dugout. They were chatting like they were like long lost buddies the whole night. And that just added to the fun of it, actually, for us.
John, I think that's Salvi. I think anyone that gets in Salvi's stratosphere, in his gravitational pull, you have no other choice but to engage, and he'll make you smile and. That's Salvi. To me, he is the new Miguel Cabrera, where even if he's beating your brains in, you can't help but like the guy. Just like Royals fans like Miguel Cabrera, even though he destroyed us for the past decade, I think everybody in Major League Baseball loves Salvador Perez, even though he's been destroying them for going on a decade as well.
Agreed, yeah. His personality is just so genuine and positive and happy.
Gregarious, yep.
It's
yeah, no question.
Watch.
John, thank you very much for the phone call, man. I'm glad you had a good time. Let's go to Chase in Kansas City. Chase, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals walk it off in 10.
Yeah, what a game. We just got back from it as well. And, I mean, Samad Taylor, Whitgren, out of nowhere, right? And how about Waters, you know, taking that? I think it's hard to lay off those balls, but our boy did it and got on base and just loved what I saw tonight.
Yeah, good point, Chase. Drew Waters, the 13th position player to appear in the game. He's been on the bench for 3 hours. And if you know Drew Waters like I know Drew Waters, like many of us inside the stadium know Drew Waters, you know that kid runs hot. You know he is amped. You know he wants to do something big. And yet he's able to dial it back and just take your walk and set the stage for Michael Massey. Oh, wait, Massey doesn't need to do anything. The Mets pitcher is going to balk with the bases loaded and the Royals are going to walk off victorious. Yes, please. But you know what? I don't want to have that attitude. I got to stop mentioning the fact that it was a walk-off balk. Because it makes it seem silly. It makes it seem as if the Mets gift wrapped this game for you. And I don't think that's the case. I truly don't. The only reason why this was a game was because, well, Dylan Coleman couldn't find the strike zone in the eighth inning. And Carlos Hernandez threw a 99-mile-per-hour fastball in the middle of the plate to Francisco Alvarez, who demolished it for a solo bomb dead over the center field wall. Outside of Hernandez and Coleman, the Royals played a darn near perfect game. Okay, MJ may have been able to make a catch there in the eighth inning. I mean, I'm grasping at straws here. I mean, this was a well-rounded game paced by your unproven position players. Those young bats that we talk about on a nightly basis. The only instance in which the Royals' offense didn't execute in big spots came in the first inning. But outside of that, again, Samad Taylor, a leadoff double in the fifth. Isbell, perfect sacrifice bunts. Mikel Garcia, after Pete Alonso drops what should have been the second out. Man on third, one out. Pete Alonso makes a sliding play in foul territory, and the ball bounces off his cheekbone. He doesn't make the catch. Mikel Garcia made him pay for not catching that ball because two pitches later, Mikel Garcia sends one deep to left field, scoring Samad Taylor and tying this game up at one apiece. They scored two in the seventh inning because of a stolen base and the speed threat of Dairon Blanco. And then the bat of Mikel Garcia. And then we could go to the eighth inning and the leadoff walk from MJ Melendez. And then he steals second base. And Salvi executes, hits the ball to the right side, advancing the runner to third. Freddie Fermin makes contact, doesn't strike out, hits that sacrifice fly. And the Royals find themselves up by three runs going to the eighth inning. Sure, Dylan Coleman gave that right back, and the game's tied going to the ninth. But offensively, the Royals executed in big spots in the 10th inning, down by two. Bobby and MJ ripping. Hard hit balls to the gap. Bobby's goes for an RBI double. MJ's goes for an RBI single. Dairon Blanco, again, the speed forcing an error from Brett Beatty over there at third base. Just a fantastic ball game. Greinke does his job for five. Alec Marsh with a scoreless sixth. Austin Cox with a scoreless seventh. Nick Whitgren with a scoreless ninth. And of course, the trade deadline. Ryan Yarbrough, Scott Barlow, Nicky Lopez, Jose Kwas, Aroldis Chapman all out. In return, the Royals bring in two starting pitchers, two left-handed relief pitchers, one right-handed relief pitcher, two infielders, and two outfielders. I'm happy to talk about the trade deadline, but forgive me if I'm excited about the win. Win number 33 in game number 108. I know this should be a show about the trade deadline and the offseason and what kind of moves the Royals are going to make then, but boy, did I love that baseball game. Man. Let's go to Ian in Lee's Summit. Ian, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, it's always enjoyable when the Royals win because we don't often see it, especially this season. But to everyone, I'll say this. To err is human. To met is eternal. Who knew that when the public went out to watch a baseball game, they were also going to see the greatest circus act in the country coming down from New York the New York Mets. After the absolute horrid few days they've had up to the leading up to the trade deadline, they think they are going to be able to relax by playing a quote-unquote easy team and getting a win. And then they proceed to lose the game in the most Mets way possible. Hey, listen.
All right, Ian, yeah, thanks for the phone call. I don't get it. I appreciate you listening and you lobbing me the phone call, but I don't get what you're talking about. We're making fun of the Mets? And on the I'm not in the mood to make fun of anybody. The Royals are still 42 games below 500. Their farm system is much better off right now than the Royals' farm system. I'm not in the mode of let's dog out the Mets. Because, again, I'm not – I think it's foolish for anyone to come away from this game going, oh, my God, the Mets. Could you believe what the Mets did? No, the Royals went and won this game. I'm sorry they did. Five stolen bases. They executed better. They pitched better. They defended better. How about Bobby Witt Jr. there in the fifth inning? Did you see that pick on the short hop? Gets the first batter that fifth inning, helping Zach Greinke get through five innings of one-run baseball. Greinke has now gone five innings in all but four of his 21 starts. He allows one run tonight. Greinke's allowed one run or fewer in just four of his 21 starts. Five innings, one run on four hits. He didn't walk a batter, and he punched out three. Let's go to Lance in Overland Park. Lance, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 7-6.
Hey, what's going on, Josh? I'm just glad to hear that pep in your voice again, my man.
It was a fun game. It was a fun game, and it was paced by the young bats, those guys that we're all kind of in between on. I thought they all showed a level of maturity that I was hoping to see, and also a refusal to accept the stink. The refusal to say, oh, well, we're the Royals. We're going to lose this game. You're not seeing it with this group, Lance.
That's exactly, man, and I've been with you ever since you took over for Robert Ford, man, and I love you. And you're my baseball encyclopedia. So when I know you tell it like it is, man. So when I turn on the Odyssey app and hear, you know, you waxing poetic about a win when our team is, everybody knows they're struggling, man. It just warms my heart. But can I just get your general input on a question before I listen off air?
Of course. You buttered me up enough, of course.
Okay, yeah, this is kind of a stupid question just because when I always get on the air, I'm walking home and from work and stuff. So
it's all right.
Always,
you sound like you're in good shape. You're not out of breath. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I won't lie. I cracked open a beer about a mile ago, so I'm feeling good now.
We'll put it in a paper
bag. You know it, man. It's all back road. So anyways, get back on topic, Mr. Vernier. So I'm just wondering, what can we take away from this going towards the future?
Take away from what?
Oh,
Lance?
Just your good question, because it was vague. I'm just thinking about the bats, man. Everybody was talking about, you know, our boy in the mid morning said everybody's available, and then I see flashes of greatness. And we all already know we can compare this to the 12, 13, 14, but, man, baseball is an extremely tough sport to judge the potential.
Yeah. Well, Lance, I appreciate the phone call, and we'll dive into that as far as what you can read into, as far as this game is concerned, as far as this trade deadline is concerned. We'll dive into that. Because to me, if you're going to say something negative, it's my opinion that you should probably let the final third of the season play out. Right? Today was the end of the second third of the season. 108 games in, we got 54 more to go. One third of the season remains. So if you're ready to write off, fill in the blank, young Royals hitter, you know, I'm done with so-and-so. Give them those 54 games. Why not? We're already 108 games in. let's finish off the evaluation season before writing off any of these young Royals. Now, on the flip side, you're going to say something to the positive. Yeah, I think there are two, three, maybe four guys that I'm willing to make a declarative statement that they have passed the evaluation. They've passed the evaluation season of 2023, right? Mikel Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr. I had a great conversation with Bobby earlier today about the impact of Mikel Garcia, because I've been talking out of my backside for the past few weeks about my observations. And man, watching Bobby, it sure does look like the emergence of Mikel has helped him. He confirmed that, saying, observing the way that Mikel is so cool, calm, and collected, never gets too high. He says, yeah, I've tried to adopt that in my game. That's what I've learned from him. Make the routine play look routine and just dial it back a little bit. So the way that those two are playing off one another on the left side of the infield, it gives me hope for 2024, 2025. The offensive prowess of Vinny Pasquantino, the endless flow of positivity and professionalism from Freddie Fermin. Those four guys have won me over in this evaluation season of 2023. So right now, Lance, those are my takeaways. Now, as far as this game is concerned, we can dive a little bit deeper into that, but we got to get to a quick commercial break. If you missed it, Samad Taylor called up. A great conversation with one of the two Royals with multi-hits tonight. Samad with his first career multi-hit performance, and then Matt Duffy goes 2-for-3. So Duffy and Samad Taylor combining for almost half of the Royals' 9 hits. Boys win tonight, 7-6 in 10 innings, a walk-off balk, but there was so much more to this win than just that goofy finish. Royals went out there and took this dub from the New York Mets. We'll take this quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Breaking ball smacked toward right center field. Ortega's over, can't get it. It dropped for a base hit. Witt races around third. No throw home. Witt slides in safely. This game is tied. Knotted at 6 in the bottom of the 10th. MJ Melendez comes through on the first pitch he sees. And in just 2 batters, the Royals tie the game at 6 in the bottom of the 10th.
All right. What a call. Woo. Got the hair standing up. Way to go, Jake Eisenberg. As heard here on 610 Sports Radio. And it only got crazier after that. MJ Melendez plates Bobby Witt Jr. to tie this thing up. So you have MJ on first with nobody out in a tie game. Salvador Perez then in an 8-pitch at-bat. It ends with him popping out to the first baseman. Freddie Fermin then swings through a sweeper and strikes out. Man on first, 2 outs. Dairon Blanco swinging at the first pitch that he sees. I don't want to say a weak ground ball, but a firm ground ball to the third baseman. And I don't know about you, if you were at the game, if you were one of the 16,000 in attendance, the second the ball leaves Dairon Blanco's bat, you better be hustling, Brett Beatty, Mets third baseman. I mean, you can't gather and then take a few steps and pump in your mitt. No, you got to get that ball out. Do you know how fast Dairon Blanco is? So Beatty pulls Alonso off the bag with the throw, and Blanco reaches. First and second, 2 outs. Drew Waters then comes off the bench and draws a 4-pitch walk, loading the bases. Michael Massey steps to the dish and never needs to do anything because a walk-off balk. Royals win 7-6, a wild 10th inning, but a well-executed inning 4-8 for the Royals offense. Love this performance tonight. Love to get your thoughts on it. Want to thank our proud sponsor, Rawhide Harley Davidson, for all their support this season. Rawhide Harley Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. We'll get to the text line coming up in a moment, but I got to get back to these phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Austin in Lee's Summit. Austin, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, how's it going, man?
All right, how are you?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm a little bit tired after watching that ball game. That was just crazy. Blood pressure up and back down and up and back down again. You know, as a matter of fact, that's definitely the first balk-off I've ever seen. And I think, did you say that's the Royals' first balk-off win in franchise history?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I can't wait to someday tell my grandkids that I was in person to witness that absolutely historic American moment in American history. So this game obviously had so many talking points. Endless. As a matter of fact, some of them might be a little too obvious. So if I may, I'm going to deviate from the game itself just a little bit and get your thoughts on something else. So obviously one of the consequences of watching a team that quite frankly is the opposite of good is saying goodbye to some familiar faces with the trade deadline, as we saw. And I was prepared for that, but there was one guy that I was just hoping and praying would not go anywhere, and that's obviously Salvador Perez. I don't think I've ever felt that way about a guy as much as I have Salvi. He just seems like a Royal to begin and to finish with. I think he's going to retire Royal someday. And then I saw the news today that he said he was open to getting traded somewhere else. Now, I don't know if that was expected from me or not, but my instant thoughts were kind of like, oh, okay, Salvi, I didn't know you were open to going somewhere. I guess my question for you is, should Kansas Cityans feel betrayed by that thought of Salvi, and did you expect him to get traded, and what were your thoughts about that?
Appreciate the phone call. No, I did not expect him to get traded at the deadline. I've been saying for a while, if you're going to move Salvi, do it in the offseason. I want a little bit more of a bidding war for Salvi's services, not just who needs a catcher at the end of July. Who wants Salvador Perez? Out of the other 29 teams this offseason, who wants someone that can come in, take control of your clubhouse, help your pitching staff, and set a standard of how we work? Who wants that in their spring training complex? So, no, I wasn't surprised Salvi wasn't moved. I will be surprised if Salvi's on the opening day roster next season. I do think that Salvi will be moved this offseason. Now, Salvi needs to sign off on the trade, and no, I don't understand why you would feel betrayed. If anything, you should be, well, this is my opinion, you feel however you want. You should be grateful that Salvi hasn't been more boisterous about wanting out. Now, he hasn't at all. He's never said, I want out. Even behind closed doors, I don't believe Salvador Perez has ever said, I want out of here. Salvi loves it here, loves the city, loves the organization, and obviously loves you guys. But you got to understand what Salvi's been through, right? He undergoes Tommy John surgery in 2020, comes back in 2000, or excuse me, Tommy John surgery in 2019, comes back in 2020, fights through COVID, fights through that blurriness in his eye, and just mashes. And then 2000, and they don't win. They don't win in 2020. They win even less in 2021, and he hits 48 home runs. They win even less in 2022 when he answers the bell and plays 162 games. And then this year, they lose more than any Royals team has in history, and you're hard-pressed to get his name out of the lineup. This is a guy that is bringing the same energy, the same positivity, the same aggressiveness. The same positivity every single day, despite the fact that since returning from Tommy John surgery, his record has to be somewhat like 80, 90 games below 500. what does he owe Kansas City? The only thing I think that must happen is if you trade Salvador Perez, it cannot be a salary dump. And I don't believe the Royals are going to trade Salvador Perez just to get rid of the contract. Meaning, let's say it's Miami or the Chicago White Sox. Let's say it's the White Sox, because they're going to lose Yasmani Grandal this offseason. They got about $40, $50 million coming off their books. They can take on $20 million of Salvi. And, of course, Salvi's, you know, basically Salvi's dad, Pedro Grifol, is their manager. So they certainly can absorb that. But if I'm the Royals, if I'm J.J. Piccolo, and I believe they feel this way, it's not one of those things where, hey, we'll take a lesser prospect if you take the entirety of this contract. Here, we'll give you the $42 million that we still owe Salvi. You just give us some double-A lottery ticket. No, I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals say, hey, we'll pay half of it, but we want one of your five best prospects. Now, you can have Salvi for 2 years at $10 million each season, but we want your fourth best prospect. So that's not a salary dump. That's improving your future. And the reason why I think you all need to entertain the idea of trading Salvador Perez is because, do you expect this team to win next year? I hope they do. I truly hope that they do. But who's in your rotation opening day 2024? As of right now, who's in your rotation 2024? Brady Singer, Jordan Lyles, Cole Reagans, maybe Daniel Lynch, maybe Alec Marsh. It's Brady Singer, Jordan Lyles, and three maybes. You're not winning with that. I don't care how good your offense is, you're not winning with that. Well, maybe the Royals go out and pull off a big-time trade this offseason, and they bring in this era's James Shields, and they make another nice signing, and they bring in this era's Jeremy Guthrie. Yeah, maybe that happens. And then, sure, yeah, you can compete next season. But if you're not going to compete next season, if Brady and Lyles are the best you have next season, then what are you doing with Salvi? Just keeping him here to sell an extra 500 tickets a night? Because Salvi's a free agent after 2025. So if you can bolster your farm system, if you can get some of that money off the books, I think you need to do it. You need to be realistic of when are we going to compete again. If it's not 2024, not only Salvador Perez needs to be on the block, but Brady Singer as well. Let's go to Ty in Sedalia. Ty, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
You know, that was a crazy ending to today's game. I've played baseball, and I've watched a lot of baseball, and I've never seen how this game ended today. But a good, well-round performance today from this Royals team. It was good to see them win. Good to see a four-game winning streak from this Royals team, something we have not seen in a long time for this Royals team. And let's go, Royals.
There you go. Appreciate the phone call. Let me run down some of these text messages real quick. From the 816, Vern, I know it's really not a big deal, but how close is Zach Greinke to 3,000 strikeouts? Well, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal, 3,000 punch-outs. Greinke had three strikeouts tonight, so that gives him 2,951. He is 49 away from becoming, what, the 21st man in history with 3,000 punch-outs? 20th or 21st? It's one of those two. But yeah, 49 punch-outs away from 3,000. We have 54 games to play. Let's say Greinke makes another eight starts. Three strikeouts per start. That's 24. No, he's not getting it. He's not getting it. But, you know, whatever. He's still a Hall of Famer in my book. He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer in my book. Now, 3,000 would be nice. But I don't think his resume needs it. Go look at 2009. Go look at 2015. And look at those career totals. Might as well go start building that plaque, putting that plaque together right now. Now, it's a big deal, but I don't see it happening. And I don't see Greinke coming back next year. Alex writes in, Vern, I think Freddie Fermin is a part of the core moving forward. He's a good catcher, and he puts together big at-bats. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about the big at-bats. I'm thinking about it watching this game. When Freddie came to the dish with a man on third and one out in the eighth inning, I'm thinking, who else would I rather have up here right now? Salvi, okay, sure, obviously. Bobby, yep. Michael, okay. Well, Vinny's hurt, so I can't say him. Freddie's fourth. Behind Salvi, Bobby, Michael Garcia, I'd say Freddie Fermin's the guy I want at the dish in the biggest spots. Crazy to say. Happy to say it. Couldn't feel that way about a nicer guy. Just haven't come across many better teammates than Freddie Fermin. Royals win 7-6. They walk it off in the 10th inning. A walk-off balk for the first time in franchise history. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Double J. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Phone, hey, what's up, man? Hey, thanks for taking the call. Just got home not too long ago. Was one of the 16,000 at the game tonight. Great atmosphere, great game to watch. That was awesome. I could care less. A win's a win, and that was a fun win.
It was a good win. That was a good one
to be at. And I'll tell you what, I mean, it's not the season we hoped for, but hey, I'll tell you what, these young bats, Bobby Witt, MJ, they're starting to go out to fun for us. They're starting to come together a little bit, and I'm loving it. And it will carry over to next year where you just kicked butt. I mean,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, see, I appreciate the phone call, Double J. We don't need to do that. We don't need to make it more than what it was. And what that was a terrific baseball game. We don't need to try to extrapolate it and go, well, this was a great game, so now they're all about to take off. No, well, we don't need to do that. I appreciate the positivity, but we can just enjoy this dub and say, MJ, do it again tomorrow. Samad, do it again tomorrow. Now, that's not being a bad fan or overly critical or a pessimist. And, man, why can't you just be where your feet are and enjoy a win? I don't think that's what that is. Great execution, Kyle Isbell. Do it again tomorrow. Nice walk, Drew Waters. Do it again tomorrow. It doesn't make you a bad fan. Doesn't make you ungrateful. Doesn't mean you're not being present. What it means is you understand the name of the game. Consistency. Why do I love Salvador Perez? Because he's the same guy every single day. 40 games below 500, 40 games above 500. It's the same smile, the same energy, the same dogged effort. Every single day, every single month, every single year, you know what you're getting from Salvi. Bobby's about to complete his second season. You ever question his effort? Does it ever seem like it changes day to day? I can tell you, as a guy that watches him work very closely, it doesn't. Bobby Witt's cut from the same cloth that Salvador Perez is cut from. Now, I'm with you on that, Double J. You want to read into those two? I'm with you. Because they've been doing it every single day. Salvi for a decade. Bobby for, 270 games now. I'm encouraged by Michael. And to your point about MJ, I'm not trying to knock you, Double J. But, MJ, he's been pretty darn good since the All-Star break. But Double J, you know that MJ Melendez is a good baseball player. We saw that last year. I know MJ Melendez is a good baseball player. I know he has athleticism for days and prodigious power. But we need to see him do it. Day in and day out, month in and month out, season in and season out. And it sounds so disrespectful. I understand that. It sounds like you're an ungrateful fan when you say things like that, but that's the only way this team's going to get to where we all want them to be, where we're not calling it a disappointing season, where we're not hoping that, oh, this could mean something for the future. No, I feel very confident in what Bobby Witt Jr.'s future looks like. Why? Because he's doing the same thing every single day, giving you the same kind of effort, energy, and execution just about every single day. The questions that we have right now about MJ, I think we're going to have those questions at the start of next season as well. That's why doing it for 162 is so very vital, because you eliminate those questions. I don't have those questions about Salvi. I'm going to have different questions about Bobby this year at spring training than I did last year at spring training. Going to have different questions about Mike Hell this year at spring training than I did last year. But the rest of them, Prado, Massey, Waters, Melendez, Isbell, I'm going to be asking the same questions next year at spring training that I was this year at spring training, and I think you will be as well. Very similar offseason conversations to what we had a season ago. And that's not what you want in an evaluation season. You want a few more declarative statements after 162, and maybe we'll have them. Maybe we'll have them again. We got a third of the season remaining. Makes it sound large, doesn't it? Got one third of the Major League Baseball season. You got another 54 opportunities to make your case, MJ, Massey, Waters, Isbell, Prado, so on and so forth. Royals walk it off in 10-7-6, the final score. We get back to your thoughts, and we'll hear from Zach Greinke after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The Royals have scored twice already in this inning to tie the game. Now they're trying to win it. MJ Melendez is the potential winning run leading off of third base. And it's Blanco at second and Waters at first. Francisco Alvarez calls time and goes out to the mound for a mound visit. Now the umpires are conferring.
They called a balk on Josh Walker before he even threw a pitch. The Royals win it 7-6 on a balk of all things. If there was any other way for this wild back and forth game to end, why not a balk from the seventh pitcher of the game before he even threw a pitch? MJ Melendez scores from third. The Royals beat the Mets 7-6 in 10 innings. Ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous call. Great job, Jake. I don't know how you call that. Man, I was so floored. Wait, what? What are they doing to do? You're not allowed to do back-to-back mound visit? What's going on? A balk? All right. Jake Eisenberg, yeah, you talk about an evaluation season. Bobby, Mike Hell, Freddie, Vinny, Jake Eisenberg. Yeah, they're all getting passing grades in this evaluation season of 2023. Great call as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals extend the longest winning streak currently in all of Major League Baseball. Boys have won four straight. They'll look to take a second straight series tomorrow. Cole Reagans on the hill. The 25-year-old lefty that the Royals acquired in the Aroldis Chapman trade, he makes his second start with the big club tomorrow, facing Kodai Senga. 7:10 for the first pitch, 6 o'clock for the on-deck show live from Kraft and Draft as we get you ready for game 2 of this 3-game series and game 5 of this 6-game homestand that has seen the Royals win them all. A perfect 4-0. Thus far. My game notes following this 7-6 win are presented by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Zach Greinke picks up 5 innings of one-run baseball, does not factor in the decision. He hasn't won a game in 3 months, not always his fault. Greinke's now made 23 starts since returning to Kansas City. 23 starts at Kauffman Stadium, 24 starts on the road. Now, this is all in his second act since returning to KC, the beginning of last year. In those 24 road games, he's 0-14 with an ERA north of 6. In the 23 home games, he's 5-6 with an ERA of 2.69. So I say that Zach isn't going to reach 3,000 strikeouts by the end of the year, and I don't see him coming back next season. Bob Fesco brought this up last year, and you can scoff at it, and no, I don't think it's likely, but it's not the worst idea. The old Roger Clemens, Greinke, you pitch at home. We don't pitch you on the road, but you pitch at home. I'm not saying that the Royals can afford to have a roster spot given to a guy that only pitches at home, but it's something that we can discuss over the hot stove this offseason, right? 913-586-7610. How about Michael Garcia? 13 RBI in his last 15 games. Since the start of June, he's got a 720 OPS, batting .277 across those 51 games. All right, let's go back to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line from the 816. Vern, Taylor Hearn threw a shutdown inning tonight in Omaha. Look at you, 816, shouting out the guy that this entire city was irate about. I have a few people on the text line asking me, oh, Vern, what'd you think of the trade deadline? We'll see. You know, I never understand all these bozos on the radio or on Twitter that have all these opinions about players they've never seen. And a lot of these stupid opinions are coming from the most ill-informed individuals that there are. As far as those talking Royals, it's maddening to me how the more either misinformed or under-informed you are, the louder your voice is. Strange how many people take their cues, especially in my business. How many bozos in the radio take their cues from know-nothings on social media? Blows my mind. My opinion on the trade deadline? We'll see. We'll see if Cole Reagans turns out to be worth a darn. Pitched well in his debut, but you're telling me if Cole Reagans stinks for the next 2 years? That you're still going to be as excited as you were when they made the move? If the guys that, the two 21-year-olds that you got for Scott Barlow, the two infielders that you got for Ryan Yarbrough, they dictate whether the trade's good or not. Right? We want the Royals to be good for a long time. The way you do that is by drafting well, developing well, acquiring talent at a high clip via waiver claims, trades, free agency, international signings. I mean, there's so many different ways to build a team. And we all acknowledge that. But J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this front office are going to be judged on what these guys do moving forward, not what you think of them right now. We've all been through this so often in the past. You get excited on trade deadline day, and then you go, okay, let's wait a few years to see if any of these guys can play. I'm glad they were active, I guess. I'm glad they were active if they got good players that helped the big league club out. Those 21-year-olds aren't going to help the big league club out for another couple of years. The utility infielder you got from the Dodgers may help you next season. But if they never help you, you lost the Barlow trade, and you lost the Yarbrough trade, and you lost the Chapman trade. Let's let it breathe a little bit. Anyone giving you a strong opinion about the trade deadline's talking out of their ass. I'm sorry, but they are. Furthermore, this offseason is what we should all have circled. Right? An evaluation season at the end of this 2023 campaign, we should see drastic roster turnover. And that's what I still want to see. Are you guys done with the roster turnover? Don't you want to see a lot more changes for a team that, despite a four-game winning streak, is still 42 games below 500? I want to see a lot more changes. So, no, I'm not celebrating the trade deadline and you moved five guys out. Good. You got to move another 25 guys out. There's a lot more changes that need to happen. At the big league level and all throughout the organization. My profession had a very embarrassing 48 hours. From the text line, Mike in Omaha. Vern, that was perhaps the strangest win I've ever seen, but I'll take it. Vern, I didn't like the Nicky Lopez trade, but let's make the most of the rest of the season. Yeah, I don't understand the outcry for Nicky Lopez. Do not understand that whatsoever. I mean, a great guy. I got nothing bad to say about him. But that's just the thing that always drives me nuts about members of the media and some of you as well. You know, screaming, be transactional, make moves, act like the Rays, act like the Guardians, be transactional. Okay, we make a move. How could you get rid of Nicky Lopez? What? You're 42 games below 500 and you're talking about some guy hitting 200? That's the one that we need to keep? Okay, I understand if you're going to be brokenhearted if they lose Salvador Perez. Okay, sure. Yeah. Guy's running into 20 home runs every single season. That makes sense. But a utility infielder? Nicky Lopez wasn't doing anything for you. Nicky Lopez is in the perfect spot right now. A utility guy on a team loaded with bats that really never needs his bat to do anything other than possibly lay down a bunt once a week. Field a few ground balls once a week. Other than that, just make a lot of noise on the bench. Keep the boys going. That's Nicky Lopez's job. He can be really good at that. But he's not a key cog of the turnaround or the rebuild. Honestly, if they wouldn't have moved Nicky Lopez, I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals DFA'd him in like a week. What's the point of having him around? Can anyone explain that to me? What's the point in keeping him around? I understand. It's the return that you have issue with because they could have got Taylor Hearn on waivers a week before. That seems to be the thing that's driving you all up a wall. You got a human being with a pulse for Nicky Lopez. I'm surprised you got that. And you're not happy with the return. Unbelievable. 913-586-7610. Do we have any more from the text line? From the 785, the Royals bats bailed out Vern from having to defend today's deadline deals. Vern Yarbs. That deal to the Dodgers may come back to bite the Royals in the end. Okay. All right, so you're not saying anything. John in Mission. Vern, I took my parents to the game, and it ended with the first ever walk-off balk in Royals franchise history. Happy to witness history with the family, it's now time for a celebratory nightcap. John in Mission stays knocking them back. Dan and KCK wondering my thoughts about the trade deadline. Raj in the Ozarks says, Vern, I hope you don't use Salvi next year like a ride at Worlds of Fun or an exhibit at Union Station. It would be a terrible waste of a great player. Maybe the Marlins and Royals can work it out in the offseason. We got worse today, Vern, and I can't believe it. Now, if you mean worse in 2023, well, yeah, of course, but you knew that was going to happen. You're trading Barlow. You're trading Yarbrough. Yeah, you're not going to get better. Yarbrough is probably the pitcher of the month in July. I wouldn't see why the Marlins wouldn't be intrigued or willing to bring on Salvador Perez this offseason. But I also think the White Sox could feel the same. Maybe the Rays feel the same. We'll see how Jonah Heim rebounds next season, or else maybe the Texas Rangers, maybe the New York Yankees. Sure, let's have a nice little bidding war for Salvador Perez's services. All right. I appreciate you guys listening. Royals walk it off in 10 innings. 7-6 is the final score. Thanks to Chris Unocero back at the studio for the help. Hey, CDOT made you money. I made you money. It was a good day. I hope you had a good day. I'll see you tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Remaining. Makes it sound large, doesn't it? Got one third of the Major League Baseball season. You got another 54 opportunities to make your case. MJ, Massey, Waters, Isbell, Prado, so on and so forth. Royals walk it off in 10, 7-6 the final score. We get back to your thoughts and we'll hear from Zach Greinke after this.
Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The Royals have scored twice already in this inning to tie the game. Now they're trying to win it. MJ Melendez is the potential winning run leading off of third base. And it's Blanco at second and Waters at first. Francisco Alvarez calls time and goes out to the mound for a mound visit. Now the umpires are conferring.
They called a balk on Josh Walker before he even threw a pitch. The Royals win it 7-6 on a balk of all things. If there was any other way for this wild back and forth game to end, why not a balk from the seventh pitcher of the game before he even threw a pitch? MJ Melendez scores from third. The Royals beat the Mets 7-6 in 10 innings. Ridiculous!
That's a ridiculous call. Great job, Jake. I don't know how you call that. Man, I was so floored. Wait, what? What are they doing to do? You're not allowed to do back-to-back mound visit? What's going on? A balk? All right. Jake Eisenberg, yeah, you talk about an evaluation season. Bobby, Mike Hell, Freddie, Vinny, Jake Eisenberg. Yeah, they're all getting passing grades in this evaluation season of 2023. Great call as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals extend the longest winning streak currently in all of Major League Baseball. Boys have won four straight. They'll look to take a second straight series tomorrow. Cole Reagans on the hill. The 25-year-old lefty that the Royals acquired in the Aroldis Chapman trade. He makes his second start with the big club tomorrow, facing Kodai Senga. 7:10 for the first pitch, 6 o'clock for the On Deck Show live from Kraft and Draft as we get you ready for game two of this three-game series and game five of this six-game homestand that has seen the Royals win them all. A perfect 4-0 thus far. My game notes following this 7-6 win are presented by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Zach Greinke picks up five innings of one-run baseball, does not factor in the decision. He hasn't won a game in 3 months, not always his fault. Greinke's now made 23 starts since returning to Kansas City. 23 starts at Kauffman Stadium, 24 starts on the road. Now, this is all in his second act since returning to KC, the beginning of last year. In those 24 road games, he's 0-14 with an ERA north of 6. In the 23 home games, he's 5-6 with an ERA of 2.69. So I say that Zach isn't going to reach 3,000 strikeouts by the end of the year, and I don't see him coming back next season. Bob Fesco brought this up last year, and you can scoff at it, and no, I don't think it's likely, but it's not the worst idea. The old Roger Clemens, Greinke, you pitch at home. We don't pitch you on the road, but you pitch at home. I'm not saying that the Royals can afford to have a roster spot given to a guy that only pitches at home, but it's something that we can discuss over the hot stove this offseason, right? 913-586-7610. How about Michael Garcia? 13 RBI in his last 15 games. Since the start of June, he's got a 720 OPS, batting .277 across those 51 games. All right, let's go back to the text line. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line from the 816. Vern, Taylor Hearn threw a shutdown inning tonight in Omaha. Look at you, 816, shouting out the guy that this entire city was irate about. I have a few people on the text line asking me, oh, Vern, what'd you think of the trade deadline? We'll see. You know, I never understand all these bozos on the radio or on Twitter that have all these opinions about players they've never seen. And a lot of these stupid opinions are coming from the most ill-informed individuals that there are. As far as those talking Royals, it's maddening to me how the more either misinformed or underinformed you are, the louder your voice is. Strange how many people take their cues, especially in my business, how many bozos in the radio take their cues from know-nothings on social media. Blows my mind. My opinion on the trade deadline? We'll see. We'll see if Cole Reagans turns out to be worth a darn. Pitched well in his debut, but you're telling me if Cole Reagans stinks for the next 2 years, that you're still going to be as excited as you were when they made the move? If the guys that, the 2 21-year-olds that you got for Scott Barlow, the 2 infielders that you got for Ryan Yarbrough, they dictate whether the trade's good or not. Right? We want the Royals to be good for a long time. The way you do that is by drafting well, developing well, acquiring talent at a high clip via waiver claims, trades, free agency, international signings. I mean, there's so many different ways to build a team. And we all acknowledge that. But J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this front office are going to be judged on what these guys do moving forward, not what you think of them right now. We've all been through this so often in the past. You get excited on trade deadline day, and then you go, okay, let's wait a few years to see if any of these guys can play. I'm glad they were active, I guess. I'm glad they were active if they got good players that helped the big league club out. Those 21-year-olds aren't going to help the big league club out for another couple of years. The utility infielder you got from the Dodgers may help you next season. But if they never help you, you lost the Barlow trade, and you lost the Yarbrough trade, and you lost the Chapman trade. Let's let it breathe a little bit. Anyone giving you a strong opinion about the trade deadline's talking out of their ass. I'm sorry, but they are. Furthermore, this offseason is what we should all have circled. Right? An evaluation season at the end of this 2023 campaign, we should see drastic roster turnover. And that's what I still want to see. Are you guys done with the roster turnover? Don't you want to see a lot more changes for a team that, despite a four-game winning streak, is still 42 games below 500? I want to see a lot more changes. So no, I'm not celebrating the trade deadline and you moved five guys out. Good. You got to move another 25 guys out. There's a lot more changes that need to happen. At the big league level and all throughout the organization. My profession had a very embarrassing 48 hours. From the text line, Mike in Omaha. Vern, that was perhaps the strangest win I've ever seen, but I'll take it. Vern, I didn't like the Nicky Lopez trade, but let's make the most of the rest of the season. Yeah, I don't understand the outcry for Nicky Lopez. Do not understand that whatsoever. I mean, a great, great guy. I got nothing bad to say about him. But that's just the thing that always drives me nuts about members of the media and some of you as well. You know, screaming, be transactional, make moves, act like the Rays, act like the Guardians, be transactional. Okay, we make a move. How could you get rid of Nicky Lopez? What? You're 42 games below 500, and you're talking about some guy hitting 200? That's the one that we need to keep? Okay, I understand if you're going to be brokenhearted if they lose Salvador Perez. Okay, sure. Yeah. Guy's running into 20 home runs every single season. That makes sense. But a utility infielder? Nicky Lopez wasn't doing anything for you. Nicky Lopez is in the perfect spot right now. A utility guy on a team loaded with bats that really never needs his bat to do anything other than possibly lay down a bunt once a week, field a few ground balls once a week. Other than that, just make a lot of noise on the bench, keep the boys going. That's Nicky Lopez's job. He can be really good at that. But he's not a key cog of the turnaround or the rebuild. Honestly, if they wouldn't have moved Nicky Lopez, I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals DFA'd him in like a week. What's the point of having him around? Can anyone explain that to me? What's the point in keeping him around? I understand. It's the return that you have issue with, because they could have got Taylor Hearn on waivers a week before. That seems to be the thing that's driving you all up a wall. You got a human being with a pulse for Nicky Lopez. I'm surprised you got that. And you're not happy with the return. Unbelievable. 913-586-7610. Do we have any more from the text line? From the 785, the Royals bats bailed out Vern from having to defend today's deadline deals. Vern Yarbs, that deal to the Dodgers may come back to bite the Royals in the end. Okay. All right, so you're not saying anything. John in Mission, Vern, I took my parents to the game, and it ended with the first ever walk-off balk in Royals franchise history. Happy to witness history with the family. It's now time for a celebratory nightcap. John in Mission stays knocking them back. Dan and KCK wondering my thoughts about the trade deadline. Raj in the Ozarks says, Vern, I hope you don't use Salvi next year like a ride at Worlds of Fun or an exhibit at Union Station. It would be a terrible waste of a great player. Maybe the Marlins and Royals can work it out in the offseason. We got worse today, Vern, and I can't believe it. Now, if you mean worse in 2023, well, yeah, of course, but you knew that was going to happen. You're trading Barlow. You're trading Yarbrough. Yeah, you're not going to get better. Yarbrough is probably the pitcher of the month in July. And yeah, I wouldn't see why the Marlins wouldn't be intrigued or willing to bring on Salvador Perez this offseason. But I also think the White Sox could feel the same. Maybe the Rays feel the same. We'll see how Jonah Heim rebounds next season, or else maybe the Texas Rangers, maybe the New York Yankees. Sure, let's have a nice little bidding war for Salvador Perez's services. All right. I appreciate you guys listening. Royals walk it off in 10 innings. 7-6 is the final score. Thanks to Chris Unocero back at the studio for the help. Hey, C-Dot made you money. I made you money. It was a good day. I hope you had a good day. I'll see you tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.